You know the vibes. Welcome back to another episode of the Hoop Genius Podcast, brought to you by NBA 2K25. It's myself, Mo Moonsy, alongside me, as always, he's back, Mr. BJ Armstrong. BJ, how was your little hiatus?
Yeah, well, you know, just out moving and grooving. You know, Mo, I'm not maxing and relaxing, but just had a little quick trip, you know, to get out here a little bit, see what we need to see for the Hoop Genius Podcast, to make sure we stay sharp in the business, to make sure we are accurate in what we are discussing. But more importantly, you know, you get an opportunity to see what's next. So had a chance to see some good things out here, and the basketball fans in the basketball world should be very excited for what's coming next. Should be very excited. Because, you know, Mo, it's I saw some special things out there, and we're going to bring it to you right here on the Hoops Genius Podcast.
Hell yeah. That's what I love to hear. Nah, that's good. And, you know, you've been listening to the show, so you've heard, you know, what Scott and I were talking about yesterday, a lot of trade rumors and whatnot. And as always is the case, as soon as we finish recording the show, more news breaks. So we've got to get straight into this. Because the Sacramento Kings are expected to open up potential trades for De'Aaron Fox ahead of the February 6th trade deadline. There should be plenty of suitors, and it's believed that Fox has a target destination in mind ahead of 2026 free agency. And I don't think it's a secret that his target destination is San Antonio to play alongside Mr. Wembanyama. Now, there's a couple things that I really respect about De'Aaron Fox in the way that this situation is unfolding, because there are a lot of players out there who, you know, stay with the team who drafted them, get their extension, their max extension, go and get their supermax extension, and then demand a trade. Just like Mr. Bradley Beal, for example, he waited till he got his extension, then demanded a trade. Whereas De'Aaron Fox now didn't sign that extension in the summer. He wanted to see how this season would go, where the Kings would fare in the West. And he's not in a situation where he feels that he should be in his career, which he's valid to feel. And he said to the organization, I would prefer a move ahead of the trade deadline. I believe he's got, 1 year, 2 years left on his deal? So it gives the Kings a chance to get back some good value rather than being held hostage by a player about to enter free agency in order to get a deal done. So BJ, off the bat, what was your initial reaction when you heard that the Sacramento Kings would trade De'Aaron Fox?
Did they say they would trade him, or
they are opening up talks to potentially deal De'Aaron Fox?
Well, you know, in the NBA, it is what it is. We've been talking about this for years, and this seems to be the norm. This seems to be acceptable behavior within the NBA. Is, oh well, I don't want to be here. Oh well, I will accommodate you, and then we move on, and we, as we say in the NBA, in the NBA circles, you know, everyone's looking for a disgruntled star because our culture is the right place. I think there's a limited amount of teams that can actually say that and hold themselves accountable to that. But I think it is a goal for most organizations to think that they have the right place. Now, as you know, Mo, everyone can't win. And I don't know why I haven't spoken to anyone in the Sacramento inner circle that would know such a thing. But it seems very odd that, you know, now their head coach was relieved of his duties. Now their best player is demanding a trade. And something seems to be, you know, going, let's say, astray there in Sacramento. Now, once he leaves, is that an indicator that others will start asking for trades as well? Something seems to be going on up there, right, that we need to uncover. But it seems a little odd that your head coach is no longer there. Now De'Aaron Fox is no longer there. And what does this mean for the organization moving forward? You know, and what does this mean? Or is it just a coincidence? You know, I happen to believe that there's really no coincidences, but there must be something going on up there that probably needs a bigger discussion, more than we're probably willing to give time today on today's show. But something must be going on up there in Sacramento that probably needs to be addressed at some point.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, Sabonis stayed with the Kings. I think Malik Monk took less money than he could have got in free agency to stay with the Kings. They went out and got their biggest free agent in years in DeMar DeRozan. So they were looking to push all their chips in. Obviously, this season has not worked out how they maybe envisioned it working out, because they're currently sitting 24 and 22. That's 10th in the Western Conference. Maybe they thought they'd be higher up than that. But let's just go hypothetically, if De'Aaron does get to his preferred destination. And by the way, before all the Lakers fans get excited, even though he is signed with Clutch Sports, the Lakers are not on the list of his preferred destinations. He would not like to be there. And that trade would not work, because otherwise LeBron, AD, and De'Aaron Fox, you would basically have three players taking up 70% of your cap space. That wouldn't work. But let's say hypothetically, he does get to San Antonio. How do you like that?
Well, again, according to what I can only see, and I purposely, when I speak to teams or I speak to people in the organization, I never ask them what's going on behind the curtain. Like, hey, tell me what's going on with your team. So based on what I can see, you know, they drafted Stephon Castle last year.
Yeah.
Now, they drafted him last year with the idea that he would be, at least my understanding, have an opportunity to be the lead guard there when he is ready to perform, when he's ready to move into that position full time. You can see the process beginning at the start of this season with Chris Paul, and to help him mature so that he will one day be able to take over the duties as the lead guard. At least that was my understanding. So maybe this is a pivot. I don't know. Maybe this is a wish list. However, you know, San Antonio certainly will not comment about that. You know, I can understand why media and people would say that. It would seem like a nice fit with Wembanyama, but a lot of players, I'm sure, would love to play with Wembanyama based on what they can see. But Stephon Castle, as far as I know, you know, he looks like he one day will be capable of doing that full time. That's what it looks like for me. I mean, yeah, it could be
a case of, you know, Wembanyama is so good now, they don't want to wait for one day. They want to start making a run at him ASAP.
Yeah. I don't know what that means, but we'll see. We'll see how this plays out. Because in the end, you know, everyone says they want to win, and everyone says they want to do, you know, whatever happened there in the organization. You know, I would love to hear from De'Aaron Fox. The only way we can really comment about this is to hear from De'Aaron Fox, the man himself. And maybe one day we'll get the answer. But when you start moving, you got to figure out how you're going to build a team. Because we're going to assume if he's not a max player, which to me, he looks like a max player, he's going to be somewhere near the max. We know Wembanyama is a supermax. Okay. And we have a small market team. So what's our expectations here? And the Spurs traditionally haven't gone over.
I don't see
them being a second apron team.
Just going back to Stephon Castle though, because there are multiple ways for this trade to work out.
Okay.
There are ways in which you can keep Stephon Castle and trade for De'Aaron Fox, right? Do you see them two players working together as a backcourt? Or do you think that's not something that would be optimal?
Well, again, when you have Victor Wembanyama as your best player, which he will be the best player there for many, many years to come. Well, okay, you have a max player at his position. You have a max player at De'Aaron Fox. Well, you have to build out the rest of the team. That's just what it is. So I don't know how this is going to work there to build out the rest of the team, right? So you have, whatever, 15 more guys to figure out how to get around two guys. Now, Stephon Castle looks like he's going to be, he's going to demand, let's say, more than a mid-level contract, you know, early in his career. Okay. He looks like he could be somewhere, if he's not a max player, he's somewhere there, Mo. He looks like he's going to be a very productive player in this league. Okay. He's without question one of the better rookies in this class. He can defend at a very high level. I would venture to say he's going to be, he would be in high demand if he became available for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
I don't know how this works, Mo. I don't, maybe they have identified there some other players. You're going to need more than two point guards and Victor to win. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I don't know what else they're going to do with their other players. They're going to have to give up something if De'Aaron Fox is in a trade. So that means they're going to have to give up something else. And then how are they going to build this out? So to me, this looks like more like a trade on paper more than it can actually happen. Than what can actually happen. I would think in order to do a trade like that, that they would have to give up, you know, a really, really good player that they probably like.
There are ways to do it. If the Kings want to go into a full rebuild, you could give some combination of Zach Collins, Trey Jones, Chris Paul, and five future first round picks. If you wanted to send out less picks, you could send someone like Jeremy Sochan with Trey Jones, Zach Collins, and four first round picks. Or you could send Devin Vassell, Keldon Johnson, three first round picks. Like, there's different levels to how many picks you send out and which players you'd include in these deals. And then, of course, there are the possibilities of just sending Stephon Castle and Keldon Johnson and not sending out that many picks with them because of their value. So there are different ways to get it done.
I'm looking at it. I want to say this again. I'm just looking at it from the outside. You're leveraging the future of your organization with one player. I do not adhere to that way of thinking. You have a team that you have to build. I will admit when they acquire Chris Paul, it probably moved them ahead of schedule this year. They go from a lottery team a year before to suddenly now they are what? I don't know. What's their record now, Mo? What is?
Right now the Spurs are 20-23. They're 12th in the West.
Okay. I do not adhere to leveraging everything to acquire a player in that way. And then all of a sudden you have no more draft picks in order for you to build your team. I don't adhere to that. Their best player is still in year two. It's just what it is. They need to acquire players, especially in a small market. This is not a free agent destination. This is a small market team. It's not to say that it won't change in the future. It's not just what they've achieved over the last 20 years, hey, speaks for itself. I mean, they've won what, five championships over there with David Robinson, the Admiral, and then you have Tim Duncan, Ginobili. So they're an incredible organization. However, slow and steady is the pace. You have Victor Wembanyama. Slow and steady. You have to do this right. You have to have the discipline, just like the players have to have the discipline to get up every day and just do the job, and everything else you're looking for will come. Giving up 3-5 first-round draft picks, no. I'm not saying that. Now, do I adhere to that if you are already in the top four, top five in the conference, and you can consistently win those level of games without? Okay, maybe that's a discussion. They're not even a 500, you know,
basketball team right now.
Basketball team, right? So I don't adhere to leveraging everything to participate for one player. Slow and steady. You have not one, you have two really, really good players. You have one, arguably will be the best player in the league. He's somewhere getting close to that now, Victor Wembanyama. You have this kid, Stephon Castle. He's going to be, just say on the downside, he's going to be a top 25 player in this league at some point. Just on the downside. Okay. All-star caliber player. He could be an off defensive player. He looks like he's going to be a really good player. What are we running to? Well, I don't adhere to that, but I think it's fun to do the trade thing and go through the what they need, what it could to do, what they could do, or what they, you know, people want them to do. But if I were the Spurs, I'm just going to stay on my path. I'm going to stay on my journey. And if De'Aaron Fox gets to us somehow under the circumstances that we've set for our pace and when we want to be good, great. I like where the Spurs are at. Maybe there's some things I would like to change about the team and the construction of it, personally, if you ask. But overall, I like where they're at. I like where their books are at. And I think, you know, I think slow and steady wins this race.
Yeah. You know, yesterday on a show, Scott and I were talking about the Houston Rockets, and I asked him if he thought that the Rockets should make a trade to win now. And after that, you know, Scott said that they should just stay the course and see what they've got. Mm-hmm. And then the De'Aaron Fox news came out, and Houston did cross my mind as a team that, you know, you're trading Fred VanVleet and a couple of picks, maybe a young player or two, for De'Aaron Fox. It would actually be great. But Mark Stein came out and reported that Houston's intentions remain unchanged to let the current group see how far it can go. So shout out to Scott for having a vision on that. There are a couple other teams that interest me. One team would be the Orlando Magic, who have the necessary pieces to facilitate this trade and acquire De'Aaron Fox. How would you like De'Aaron Fox on the Orlando Magic?
I'm a huge, huge fan of Jalen Suggs. So that's off the board for me.
So he would be playing the two alongside De'Aaron Fox.
I think Jalen Suggs is a lead guard, and that's me.
Yeah.
I don't see that. Jalen Suggs defensively, you know, he's the new version of your guy, our guy, Jrue Holiday. that's those type of players I value. I value defensive players on the perimeter that play that style and with that level of physicality. That's too valuable for me to give up, because he changes the identity of your group. I mean, Jrue Holiday has won two championships now in two different cities, and he's an all defensive player and guards multiple positions. That's invaluable. And now everyone may not come to the game to see that, but for us who value winning,
we right there.
Raise your hand if you don't value that and then you want to win in the NBA. Okay. He is in my room of brilliance. He is a brilliant defender. He's a brilliant player. We probably don't say his name enough here because we just take it for granted how good he really is. We look at the guys who are scoring all the points. But Jrue Holiday is a huge component for why the Celtics won last year.
Absolutely.
Huge. Okay. So absolutely. I value Jalen Suggs to that level and thinks he has a chance to be the same impactful player someday in his career because of what he brings. And when Paolo was out this year, Jalen Suggs was the reason they stayed and kept that thing afloat. Mm-hmm. So I value him too much to even consider that for me.
Yeah, no, I hear it. Here's another one for you. The Golden State Warriors. You know, De'Aaron Fox is signed. He's the first athlete signed under Steph Curry's Curry brand. Not even okay, just Under Armour.
Who are you going to give up?
Steph Curry's brand. Some sort of combination of salaries of Wiggins, Karl Anderson, Moses Moody, and then all the picks you've got, basically.
Not enough. If you're going to even consider something like that, you got to give up Kuminga.
Yeah. So, but would you do that deal? Giving up Kuminga?
If I was the Warriors?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Listen, no, I wouldn't. I wouldn't do it. And here's why. Where's Steph Curry at in his career?
He's old. He's almost done.
Okay. So now, and you hear me say this more, but you haven't heard me say it in a while. Where's Steph Curry going to be? Now, during that run, he was some type of hybrid guard. He was a hybrid guard. He never guarded the other team's lead guard. And then he, depending on the matchup, he wasn't guarding James Harden or the other team's two guard. They would put him wherever they would put him. Okay. At this stage of his career, you know, there's no Andre Iguodala now to do that. You
Shout
know,
out to Iggy. He's getting his jersey retired over there in Golden State, though.
Shout out to Iggy. There's no more Klay Thompson, who took on the other team's best perimeter player every game. There's no more Sean Livingston. There's no more, Draymond is getting older now. So now all of a sudden you're going to have De'Aaron Fox and Steph Curry. Okay, who's guarding who? Like, at some point here, the Warriors, it just is what it is. We've gone through that. I don't like that trade. However, it may feel good to talk about it, but you're talking about building a team around De'Aaron Fox, Steph Curry, and who else? If you give up all those players, who else? Who are the active players on that roster that's going to take them where? I don't see it. You have two small guards. Okay, I don't see that. The best guard in the league right now is Shea Alexander. So somebody better be able to match up with him. Because he's punishing guards. Okay. So I don't see that. I don't see two smaller guards playing with the 6'6" center in Draymond. I don't see that. Now, do I like and you know this, I'm a De'Aaron Fox fan, but I don't see that because for whatever the reason may be, you got to assume that he is going to demand the max in the trade. That's I don't or somewhere near. I don't see that one. I don't like that one for the Warriors moving forward.
Okay. I mean, I think the assumption on that trade would be that once Steph Curry retires, it becomes De'Aaron Fox's team. Because I don't think there are many moves the Warriors can make right now where they actually do become serious contenders.
Okay, so,
It would be more for the in 2 years from now when Steph Curry retires. De'Aaron Fox is
but,
still only 29 and it's his team.
okay, but the Warriors are currently out of what? They're in 11th, 12th? Where
Yeah,
are the Warriors?
that's what I'm saying. It's not like I don't think there's a move the Warriors can make right now that's going to get them into the top four or five teams in the West.
Yeah, I don't if yeah, I don't know. I don't see this. I don't see that. I don't see how you're going to build a team with De'Aaron Fox and Steph Curry. Steph Curry is, you know.
But this is what I'm saying. Steph Curry is not going to be around forever. You do need to have some
Okay,
plans
well
in
how much
place for
okay, well
when
how
Steph
long is
Curry
he gonna
retires.
how long is he gonna be around then?
I don't know. You have to ask him that.
No, how many years has he left on his contract? We can look this up right now.
Steph Curry right now has contract in place up until the end of the 26-27 season. So he's got 2 years left. After this one.
Okay, so all right, so you want me to just take the next two seasons and defer to him? Is that what you're saying? Like, I don't see that. Like, you're trading for De'Aaron Fox with some type of expectation. Okay. When players ask to be traded and they're the number one spot, my immediate reaction is to say, why? You have the ultra green light where you're at. Clearly, they would pay him the supermax. So then, why? Mo, I can shoot as many times as I want. I'm the leader of the team. This is my team. And then you say, no, I don't want that. I want to go somewhere else. So my question is, why?
Yeah,
Okay.
I'm assuming he wants to win.
Okay, well, I'm
But there's
paying
not many
you.
teams that are in the position of winning. Like, if you look at the standings, right?
Well,
The
everyone
Thunder
was
aren't going to make the trade. The
I'm
Rockets said they don't want to make
not
the trade. The
I'm
Grizzlies
not
aren't going to make the
buying.
trade. The Nuggets,
Yeah.
now that would be interesting if you get him on the Nuggets. That would be fascinating. But I don't see that happening, right? That's the top four in the West. Top four in the East, the Cavs aren't going to make that trade. The Celtics aren't going to make that trade. The Knicks aren't going to make that trade. The Bucks would love to maybe make that trade, but I don't think they can. And even then, they've got Dame, so I don't think that they're going to give up on him so quickly.
So
So,
what
So who? You're talking about he wants to go to so a team everyone, who's winning. Every team that trades for him is outside of the top four in the conference.
Okay, Mo. So when people say, hey, I want to win, I'm not even buying that. Because winning involves the following. You can't take the easy path. Well, these people are, Mo, they're paying me. Now, I'm not saying anyone else. The team is paying me the Supermax, which is an indicator we believe you have the talent to win. Put your money where your mouth is, Mo. Team X says they're paying BJ and Mo the max.
I wish.
Now, Mo, that forces me to make a decision. Do I want two things? Do I want that responsibility? And do I want to be held accountable for the results that comes with being a max player? Now, Mo, I always ask myself why. When you play chess and someone makes a move on the board, you have to ask yourself, why did that person move there? That's called critical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
They're paying me the max, Mo. You know why they're paying me the max? Because they believe in me that I have the capability to win. You don't pay a player who doesn't have the talent the max. Now, we can debate and argue some of the players that they play. We go, wow. But that's what the Sacramento Kings have done. If that is the case, Mo, how are you going to say, well, I want to go to some other place and win? How does that work? So the only thing that I can say is there must be something going on that I can't see. Because you and I both know the responsibility and accountability that comes with being paid the max. You can't go get paid, take the money, and then say, well, I want to win. The team wants to win. That's why they paid you.
Mm.
The team wants to win. Mo, they didn't say, no, we're not going to pay you. They said, no, we're going to give it to you. We feel you are the guy to lead us there. And then you say, no. So my question is why? I don't know why.
I don't necessarily agree that teams give players the max because they want to win.
Okay,
I think
so why do
teams
give
players
the
max because they're scared of the player leaving? Why?
Okay, that's fair.
Why did Washington Wizards give Bradley Beal the max? They were in no position to compete, and they even gave him no trade clause. I think there's like Zach LaVine's got the max for the Bulls. The Bulls aren't trying to win.
Okay, that's fair.
Like respectfully to those guys, well done, get your money. But there's a lot of players in the league sitting on max contracts, and the teams are not even close to competing to win. Like it's not as simple as that. We're going to give you the max, and we're going to go win. Because you got to factor in all these general managers sitting around saying, well, if this guy leaves, our best player leaves, I'm going to get fired. So I'm just going to give him the money he wants.
That's one way to look at it. In the end, we all get evaluated on one thing. Your win-loss record. That's it. Now, you can get distracted and say why and operate from a position of fear. And you can operate from whatever perspective you would like. However, there's one thing that clears everything up in any decision that you make. Bradley Beal, if he had a won in Washington, no one would have questioned no trade clause or any of this stuff.
There was no way in which he would have ever won in Washington, though.
That's one perspective. You can always win. That's why teams make changes within the organization. This is why teams make changes. This is why teams make trades. This is why teams cut players. This is why we're talking about it, because someone believes that they are one player or two players away from winning. Someone believes next year there's a player in the draft that can help them. And some team believes that they are the right environment, the right culture. So Yes, it may be dim, the light may be dim, but Mo, anytime I suited up, I don't care if I was whatever team I played for, I always felt I had a chance.
Yeah. Okay.
I always did.
Let me ask you this. Do you think there's a way in which Pat Riley can use this situation to solve his Jimmy Butler problem and somehow convince the Kings to trade De'Aaron
De'Aaron
Fox to Jimmy
Fox.
Butler?
No, De'Aaron Fox to the Kings.
To
I
the
mean
Heat.
to the Heat. No, I like that.
I like that trade a lot, but
I like that.
I
But
want to say
again,
like there's no way in the world it makes sense for the Kings to trade for Jimmy Butler, but over my entire lifetime, I couldn't name many things the Kings have done that have made sense.
now I'm gonna tell you a trade that I really like. I'm gonna tell you that a trade that I like because I'm listening to all of the trades and again I don't know, but here's a trade that I like. I really take constructing a team very serious, like probably more serious than most. Now, when I have a player like De'Aaron Fox, who I'm a firm believer. I really like De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah. You
I like
picked him for
De'Aaron.
like sleeper MVP pick this year or something
Yes,
crazy.
I hold him in that regard. But if you have a player like him, then now I get to thinking, where can I match him up? See, I match up players with other players who complement each other, right? If I have a one player that plays at 65 miles per hour and the other player plays at 75 miles per hour, that's not a good fit. Well, they're good players. I start looking at stats and then most people. No, that's just people doing, they put their little things in a trade thing and they start matching up and figuring out salaries and all that stuff. The player that I would match up De'Aaron Fox with is the following, Giannis. Now, that is a trade to me that could be a win-win. And I'm going to tell you why it could be a win-win. Because now you got salaries that can match up.
So you're saying trade Fox for Damian Lillard?
Now, that to me matches up. If you're going to trade, De'Aaron Fox is an elite player in the NBA. However, De'Aaron Fox right now doesn't want the responsibility. He's saying it, whether he's saying it, however he's saying it. De'Aaron Fox can do whatever he wants when he plays. He's playing with the ultimate, and I'm saying this to all the young players. When you find a place that allows you to play with that level of freedom, never ever turn that down. I'm talking to all the young players. Freedom is what you're looking for on the court. I can come down, Mo, and call my play, and the coach doesn't say a word. I can come down and take a bad shot. Coach, team doesn't say a word. I can go 0 for 10, and the coach calls a timeout to figure out a play to get me going that night. That's what I'm looking for. I don't know what these other players are looking for, but Mo, when you find that, young people, you stick with it. Freedom is, it's that's something that you are striving to earn. And then when you get it, you say, I don't want it. Now, I'm taking, if De'Aaron Fox wants to leave, let's say he does. I don't know if he wants to or not. Giannis plays at the same pace as De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah,
Now,
100 miles an hour.
they play 100 miles an hour. And they are those level of athletes. Damian Lillard, he doesn't play at that pace. Damian Lillard is a, he'll be in the Hall of Fame and top, what, 75 and all those things. However, Damian Lillard and Sabonis and
DeMar DeRozan.
DeMar DeRozan, they play at the same
Yeah,
pace.
because he used to play with CJ McCollum. That's similar to what DeMar DeRozan does.
So that to me is a pay. And Damian Lillard has played with such freedom over his career. When he was in Portland, that's why I've always admired Damian Lillard because Damian Lillard said, nah, I got this ultra purple light over here in Portland, and I'm gonna do this. And
Well,
I
the Kings
respected
have the
that.
ultra purple lights. It's the beam.
Yeah, hey, and Damian Lillard, that to me is a something I would consider. I'm not trading him for trading them for multiple draft picks and going through that process again. The draft isn't what it used to be. Everyone's pretending like the draft is a draft. No. What are you getting out of the draft? Look at this draft. Who's that impact? Who's that impactful that they're impacting winning in their first year? They're going to be good players. There's some players in here that are going to be really good players in the future. But what are you getting where you're saying these players now are impacting win? Victor Wembanyama will be the best player in the NBA in the near future. What was his impact on winning, though, by himself? He wasn't like David Robinson or Hakeem Olajuwon or Shaquille O'Neal, or he wasn't like those guys, Patrick Ewing. So what are we really expecting from the draft other than we like it and people refer to it as like, well, they got the going rate is a first round pick and
I think people just like gambling.
Yes. But what are you really expecting? Well, these young people are, you know, for the most part, they're, you know, they go to college or university for 6 months and then we put them in the NBA game. What are we really expecting? Now, it's not to say that they won't end up being all-stars. Yes, provided they play, they get experience and all those things. So if I'm trading for De'Aaron Fox, and if I'm Sacramento, I want something back in return. And I want a player like Damian Lillard back. I want a player that's going to keep the train moving in Sacramento, because Sacramento happens to be a place traditionally that hasn't been a free agent destination.
Mm.
Okay. And Damian Lillard is under contract. And Damian Lillard right now, I don't know. You can argue.
He's old, though. Like, you're trading a 27-year-old star player for a 34-year-old star player. So unless you're going to win in the next year or two, in 5 years from now, this trade's going to look awful.
I am open to all trades. What are you going to get? Who are you going to get there? And he said he wants to win. So, all right, let's say we trade him to the Bulls. Well, the Bulls right now aren't winning. So does that mean De'Aaron Fox is going to leave? What are the conditions in which this trade is going to happen? He says he wants to win, right? Okay. Jimmy Butler, wasn't that one of his conditions?
No, he just wants the money.
Okay, he wants the money. Okay, well, there you go. If that's all it is. I like De'Aaron Fox, but De'Aaron Fox said he wants to win. Well, I don't know what's all right. If he went to Miami right now, are they the favorites in the East with that trade? I don't think so. But so again, the path to winning is not easy. That's why I don't choose it. Nothing happens easy. If you want to, you have to choose the most difficult path to get there. You have to choose that. You have to be willing to work to that degree to get there to the good stuff. And no matter where you look, you got to choose the most difficult path. And that path would be of saying, hey, we got to figure this out. De'Aaron is, I hold him to that level of excellence. He is that good of a player, in my opinion. But to think that you're just going to go to San Antonio and it's going to turn around, or think you're just going to go anywhere, because the executives and the team, they still have to build a team around you.
Yeah.
They have to build a team. Every executive is faced with this. Okay. Look at Oklahoma right now. You still have to build it. You still got to construct it.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how this figures out, because there's a week left until the trade deadline. I can see a world in which they just sit, stamp out and wait for the summer, because the Kings shouldn't be in a rush to trade De'Aaron Fox right now.
De'Aaron Fox, but again, I don't know. I'm not there. I don't know. But what I can see from talent, he is an elite talent. He's right up there with If you told me I could start my executive career and De'Aaron Fox is on my roster, I'm feeling pretty good about that. That's a good start. That's a good, I hold him in that regard. But if we're going to win anywhere, we have to choose the most difficult path. That's if you're going to win, you have to choose that path, and you have to be willing to look at it and say, this is going to be very, very hard to do. There's no guarantee that we can do it. But I have to be willing to accept two things: the responsibility that comes with that, and hold myself and everyone accountable for the results that we're able to achieve together. Because you can't achieve it unless you're working hand in hand with the organization. Mo, that's very, very tough and difficult to do. So let that be the lesson for all young stars. Maybe you figure out you don't want that responsibility. Maybe. Maybe you don't want to hold yourself and the team accountable. But Mo, if they pay us the max, Mo, I'm allowed to play with the freedom mode to come down and just shoot a three and no one says anything. Mo, under no circumstances am I turning that away. Under the
Well,
Mo.
like you said at the start, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. So maybe
Yeah,
we'll
we
figure that
don't. That's
out
what I'm saying.
and
We
we'll get
don't
back
know.
to it. But
But
in the meantime, just subscribe, like, comment, all that good stuff. BJ and I'll be back tomorrow. No doubt there'll be more NBA drama. And it's a good job this happened because last night's games were frankly awful. Did you see what happened last night? Just real quick before we go.
Yeah, I did. I watched which game? I can tell you which
The
game I watched. I watched
Lakers
the
got
Warriors.
beaten down by the Sixers, who had basically no one
Yeah,
healthy.
what happened to Anthony? I didn't see what happened to him. He
I don't
only
know. I
played.
stopped watching that game because the Lakers were getting their ass kicked by
Yeah,
basically
I saw
Gershon Yabusele.
he didn't play.
He was a game time decision coming into it. Anyway, he scored 43 points against the Hornets without LaMelo Ball, and I guess he wanted the night off. The Rockets picked up another win against the Hawks. The Bucks lost to the Trailblazers.
How about that?
Which is which is interesting. Anthony Simons outscored Damian Lillard in their point guard matchup, and the Warriors beat the Jazz, but I don't think Steph Curry was playing, so it's
Steph,
a
I watched that game. Actually, I watched that game last night. I watched the Jazz and the Warriors. It was like a 1-point game, like with
yeah.
4 minutes to
And
go.
I knew after the Rockets game, I didn't even check the rest because I was just
Yeah, Schroeder was really good last night. He had 20 something. He was really good last night. So yeah, but it's all good, Mo. It's all good.
Anyway, appreciate you. It's good to have you back, BJ. We'll be back tomorrow with more. So you guys at home, get involved in the Discord. There's a lot of mock trades and stuff going on in there. So get involved in the conversation. And until next time, get buckets.